Father, we thank you this morning. We love you because you first loved us. We thank you, Lord, for your name that is above every name. We thank you for your thoughts and your plans towards us that are for peace and for good and never for evil. We thank you, Lord, because you have foreseen everything and you know how to bring it all together for our good. Glory to God. We love you this morning as we are in this room again to open the morning. Bible says that in the womb of the morning, oh, we have the dew of youth. Renew our youth this morning, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I love the Lord this morning. I glorify the Lord. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Now that's all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Let every part of me bless the Lord this morning. Bless his holy name. Why? Because he is the one that forgiveth my iniquities and healeth all my diseases. Now that's all my diseases. He redeemeth my life from destruction and crowneth me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfieth my youth and my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembered that we are dust. Glory to God. But the mercy of the Lord, that's right, is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, that's many generations, to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Oh, bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we're going to get started. Good morning this morning. We are here again in the fire room, trying to get some prayer fire in our hearts. Get our hearts fired up this morning because the Lord is sending revival waves. You know, so this is the hour of power. And God bless you, Sister Pearl. Good to see you. Mr. Grace, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for joining. Mr. Yolanda, God bless you. God bless you, Leonard. Thank you all for joining. Let's kick it off this morning. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be powerful. Share the room. Share the room. Invite some friends. Today, we will be praying, and I'm going to be using this topic for our prayer today. Divine appointments. We're going to use that for our prayer topic today. But before we get started on that, let's remind ourselves the reason we are doing this, which is our theme scripture. We're always going to refer back to that. Leviticus chapter 6, hallelujah, and verses 12 and 13. This is our theme scripture. That's why we must keep this fire burning. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning. That's what we're doing now. And they must lay the offering in order upon it. He shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings, and the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Glory to God. Shall never go out. divine appointment this morning. I'm going to talk around that a little bit. I'm going to use that to pray. And I'm going to be declaring some things around that for everyone this morning in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Now, listen, you know, what is a divine appointment? What is it? A divine appointment. What is it? Well, a divine appointment is a meeting, you know, that was inspired and arranged by God, whether or not the participants are aware of it. Now, let me say that again. A divine appointment is a meeting of people that was arranged by God, whether or not the participants are aware of it. You know, so God positions things in order, you know, and he does that in order to bring to pass certain things that he wants to bring to pass. And he can arrange meeting between people that don't even know anything about it. He can arrange that certain things happen at certain times. He can arrange that somebody be at a certain place at a certain time, whether they are aware of it or not. You know, God is behind all these arrangements that he does for his own purposes. Now, so we're going to be talking about that a little bit, and we're going to be praying around that today. And at the end, I'm going to declare some things about divine appointments in your life. Divine appointments in your life. Now, when God puts a person in the right place at exactly the right time, that's called a divine appointment or a divine positioning. Now, God's the one that does it. They may or may not know the reason why they are there, as we are going to see, you know, from a few stories in the Bible. You know, we'll just go through them real quickly to set a background for this. Then we're going to go into a powerful session of declaration, you know, that God will order. Remember, steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. That God will order our steps, that we will be in the right places at the right times, that God will, you know, appoint the people to meet us, you know, the people that God has appointed, you know, and that God will deliver us from evil appointments. You know, we will not be in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, we will not be partakers of any evil that was intended. But God will direct our paths into the right places to meet appointments that he has set up. So that we're going to be talking about that. You know, first story here today is Genesis chapter 24. You know, there's a story there in Genesis chapter 24. I'll just paraphrase it, you know, but you can read from verses 12 of Genesis 24 to about 21. And what happened in that story? Well, you know, Abraham, of course, commanded his servant to get a wife, you know, for his son, you know. So, and the servant goes and makes this prayer. And he says, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed." Now, good speed leads to, you know, God's speed. And it also leads to divine appointment. "Send me good speed today and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the waters and the daughters of the city, they come to draw water. And let it come to pass." Now, he's actually praying about it, but he doesn't know whom God is going to send. So in this case, he's expecting to meet somebody. This is a slight variation of all the things we're going to talk about today. He's expecting. And it's a good thing to always pray that the Lord will direct our paths. So he's expecting and say, "Lord, I don't know whom you're going to send with me to my master's house to be the wife of my master's son. But let it be that this person that does such and such, when I ask her for drink, you know, and she will not only give me to drink, but also give my camels to drink," and so on and so forth. "Let it be that person that thou hast appointed." Notice that word, "that thou hast appointed." for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So, you know, and then it came to pass, before he had done speaking, wow, you know, God was already sending the lady even while he was praying, you know, because she had to come from a long distance to get there, quite a trek to get there, you know. So, you know, even while he was praying and saying, Lord, direct my path today, give me Godspeed, send the right person. I don't know who I'm going to speak, but the one that you have appointed, that's the word, the one that you have appointed, show me favor today. All right. So she came, and you know the rest of the story. So it was Rebecca that came, and she not only gave him water when he asked for it, she also drew water for his camels and so on and so forth. So that was a divine appointment. I'm going to leave that story right there. There are some more interesting stories that I want to tell. You know, I will leave that one right there. But that one is interesting too, you know. So, but let's leave that right there. But you get the point. How, you know, there's a lesson we see here. How the servant prayed to the Lord to direct his path into meeting the right person. You know, and we need that, you know. We need that. Whatever you're doing, you know, sometimes you are in search of something. You know, sometimes people are even in search of a job. They're in search of some business connections. They're in search of this and that. You know, the Lord needs to direct your path and give you an encounter that is orchestrated by his own divine appointment, you know, rather than us just stumbling around, just, you know, hoping. No, let the Lord guide and direct. So we're going to be praying about that today. There is a story here in the book of Acts chapter 8. This story from about verses 26 to about 40. This story about, you know, Philip, you know, the evangelist who went down to Samaria to preach, you know, there in the cities of Samaria. Great miracles were happening. You know, great miracles were happening. You know, but little did he know what God had in store for him. God actually pulled him off from those miracles and asked him to go someplace else in the midst of all of the great things that the Lord was doing right there. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. Now, you are in the city. You are doing great miracles. The whole city is rejoicing because they are seeing and hearing the miracles that you are doing. People are coming, you know, and turning their hearts to the Lord. They're bringing their curious hearts. They're turning them over. Great joy was in that city. And in the middle of all of that, you know, the angel of the Lord says to you, get up, leave this place and go into the desert. Now, I don't know about that. You know, most people would say that's not the voice of the Lord. You know, how can I leave, you know, all that God is doing here and then go into the desert? Maybe they start to rebuke that voice. But this man, he knew the voice of the Lord, you know, and he arose and went. Obedience is always so key to walking with God. If we are to walk with God, if we are to achieve great things, God is to do great things in our life, it's always precipitated upon our obedience. And the Spirit of the Lord tells you, then he says, and you do. That's it. Jesus said, you know, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. You can read all about it in John 14, 21 to about 23. You know, if he loves me and keeps my commandment, my Father and I will come and we'll make our abode with him. We'll sup with him. But if a man doesn't love me, he won't keep my commandments. Jesus put it right out there. You know, so obedience is so key. So Philip arose and went, and behold, when he got into the desert, there was a man from Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians. This man had tremendous power. You know, I don't know his, you know, what he was, maybe chief of army staff or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, the heart treasure of all her treasure, might have been, the finance minister or whatever. And he came to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot and reading the book of Isaiah. So one thing led to another, Philip joined himself, even as the Lord said to him, go near and join yourself unto the chariot. And eventually, salvation comes to the life of that man. He was even baptized. He takes the gospel back to Africa. And whoa, that's exactly right. One encounter right there brings somebody into contact with a person of great influence that not only gives their life to Christ, gets baptized, understands the scriptures, takes the same message and fire back to Africa. Wow. Now that could have been how, the gospel got to Ethiopia, because of one man's obedience, who was Philip. So God will, speak to our hearts. But then, in order for us to do the things that he wants to accomplish in our lives, but we must obey. Glory to God. Now, here is another appointment, a divine appointment that God set up. The story of Elijah, the Tishbite, the prophet, a rough figure, but he stood before the presence of the Lord. Elijah and the widow woman of Zarephath. You can read that story in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 to about 16. As the story went, Elijah called for famine, because he wanted to get the attention of all the people that had gone a-whoring, after, Baal and all these other, crazy gods they had in those days. And for about 3.5 years, there was famine in the land. And the Lord sent Elijah during that famine. The Lord sent him to go, someplace where the ravens would feed him. Hallelujah. Beautiful story, So let's pick it up in, when the Lord told him to go to the brook, it's called Cherith, that is close to Jordan. But we pick up the story in verse 7 of 1 Kings 17. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So the brook dried up. Now, this part of it is even interesting before we even get into any other part. The Lord sent this man over there. He said, look, listen to this. Let me back up a little bit. The Lord said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be, thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens. Now, Elijah didn't know that until the Lord told him. I have commanded the ravens there to feed you. Wow. You talk about room service. Ravens bringing this man food twice a day. But the Lord said, I'm the one that commanded them to feed you. And they were doing it. And he was drinking of the river. But at some point, the river dried up because there was no rain. The river needed rain to supply its flow. So it dried up. It was Elijah that said there should be no rain. So he himself is going to suffer the consequences now after a while. When the Lord told him to go over there and sending him ravens to, commanding the ravens to bring him food every day. I often ask people, I said, the Lord that did all of that, could he not have sustained the river from getting dry? Why did the Lord allow the river to dry up? The Lord could have commanded that river to stay and not dry. Or even Elijah himself could have been rebuking the river for drying up. When the Lord said, get up and go, he would say, no. He could have said that. No. I rebuke the water. I command it to come back and all of that and so forth. And he would have missed a tremendous blessing that God was planning. God knows what he is doing. He may send you to a place and then he may change the instructions later on. In this case, he sent him over there, sustained him, but the brook got dry. But God allowed the brook to dry up. You know, God did not prevent the brook from drying up. Because, you know, sometimes when the brook dries up, it's time to move to someplace else. So the brook dried up and it was time for him to move. But he didn't know it. And the Lord said to him, he said, look, get up and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded. Listen to this. I have commanded. Just like he commanded the ravens, he also said, I have commanded. Now, God was really looking out for this Elijah man. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, it was actually going to be a 2-for-1 blessing. You know, so Elijah, because he knew the voice of the Lord, he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the city, I mean, the Lord had told him, but he didn't know until the Lord told him. But he actually didn't know who it was, you know, until the Lord was going to show it to him. And the woman had no knowledge of it at all. You know, so one or more parties in the arrangement doesn't have a clue of what's going on, but God arranged it. That's a divine appointment. Either both parties know nothing, or at least one of them know nothing about it. It's a divine appointment. You know, just like Rebecca didn't know anything. You know, the servant of Abraham was praying about it, but Rebecca knew nothing, and God brought them together. It was a divine appointment. You know, the Ethiopian Enoch knew nothing, you know, but God sent Philip over there. He didn't actually know who he was going to meet. You know, that's a divine appointment. You know, all these stories are divine appointment. One side may have a little bit of clue. They don't know everything, but the other person knows nothing at all. You know, and so this widow lady had no clue that God had actually commanded her to sustain Elijah. And can you just imagine that for a minute? How can God command somebody to do something and they have no knowledge of it? Just think about that. Let that sink in. You know, God works in the ordinances of heaven and he sets the dominion thereof upon the earth. When God gives an unction in heaven, things go into operation and God is going to watch over it and cause it to come to pass. Even though the woman knew nothing about it. So Elisha said to her, give me something to drink while you are going, you know, I mean, you know, fetch me, you know, something to eat and all that. And you know the rest of the story. So the woman says, well, I don't have anything. All I have left is this little thing and I'm going to make a cake for my son. We're going to eat it and we're going to die. This is our last meal. So she knew nothing about what God had put together. But Elijah said to her, no, nobody is dying today. You just go do as you say, but bring me something. For thus saith the Lord. My goodness, I love that. And he brought that thus saith the Lord point blank. You know, he said, thus saith the Lord. Glory to God. Woo. The barrel, you know, of meal shall not waste. And the cruse of oil shall not fail. And he put it right there. Glory to God. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah. And she did eat many, many days. Because God multiplied that little that she had. That was a divine appointment. And not only for her, but also for Elijah. And she sustained Elijah throughout those whole time. God orchestrated it. You know, God orchestrated, you know, that there was a man. That's a story in John chapter 5. Now, this man didn't know that he was going to have an encounter with the master, you know, that day. Now, of course, Jesus, he knew it, but the man didn't know it. So this man, 38 years of infirmity, and he kept coming every time, you know, looking for the stirring of the pool by the angel of the Lord. The mercy of God in those days, angel would come and stir the pool and all that. So, but being lame on his feet, he was too slow to get in there. And he was only the first person that got in after the stirring of the water that got his miracle. So this day, but he kept coming. That's a good thing. He was persistent. He was resilient. You know, he would never give up. He kept coming. And so on this day, this was the day of his appointment. This was the day of his visitation. Now, he didn't know it, but Jesus knew it. It's a divine appointment. And coming upon the scene, Jesus, knowing his condition like that, as he's been there like for a long time, says to him, "Would thou be made whole?" And an exchange of conversation goes on. You know, the man said, "What kind of a question is that? Would I be made whole? I'm coming here all the time. I'm looking for my miracle. I just can't get in fast enough. Somebody always gets in ahead of me. And you know, it's only the," so he tells Jesus, "you know, it's only the first person that gets in there. And I'm too slow. You know, I don't know, you know, but you know, I'm going to keep coming until I get in there." And Jesus says to him, "Forget the water, forget the angel. Today, it's not about that. I'm right here. Praise the Lord. Glory to God." Now, you know, that's a lesson for some of us. You know, when we are, you know, thinking of and asking some God for something, well, zoned in into one direction, we think that's where the miracle or the help is coming from. Don't worry about that. You know, God is full of resources. He's got all kinds of things he can pull out, you know. And for people zoning, you know, they think their help is coming from that place. And this man say, "I have no man to help me." People are always saying, "Well, nobody will help me," you know, and so forth. And they're just looking in one direction. This man thought his miracle had to come through the water. It had to come at a certain season, you know, and if he didn't get there, he would have to wait till the next year and all of that and so on and so forth, you know. And Jesus said, "Forget all that. Forget the water. Forget the angel. Right now, today, I'm right here. Glory to God." So that's a lesson for some of us. Don't zero in on something that you think that's where your answer is coming from. Zero in instead on the Lord. Now, that was a divine appointment. But let me tell you this story that is even far more interesting. There is a story in the book of Esther, chapter 6 in the Bible. You know, Esther chapter 6, there is a story of Haman and Mordecai. Mordecai was Esther's uncle, as you know it. Haman was a man that got promoted by the king. You know, he was over some, you know, he had some authority and so forth, and he was promoted even more. And everybody did him obeisance. Everybody bowed down before him, except Mordecai, who sat at the king's gate. And every day he passed by, Mordecai refused to worship this man. So the man got furious and began to plot how he's going to kill or get rid of Mordecai. "I got to bump him off. You know, what kind of disdain? You know, I am Haman. And look at me. All that, you know, the king has bestowed upon me and so forth. And this man, who is he? He's not even going to respect me." And everybody put fire under him, say, "Well, you know, yeah, you know, get rid of him. And not only him, get rid of all his tribe," you know, which were the Jews, you know. So, interesting story, you know. And, but this Mordecai, before that, had actually, you know, notified the king a couple of times about some coup that was planned against them and saved them from insurrection. But nothing was done for him. So as the story went, to cut the long story short, on the day that Mordecai was planning, now this is divine appointment, listen to this. On the day that Haman was planning to come to the king to ask permission to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had made, and so on and so forth, on that very day, the night before, the angel of the Lord troubled the king so that he could not sleep. Now, this is how God does his things. You know, why was it on such a day that he could not sleep? You know, he couldn't sleep. The Lord took away his sleep from him because God wanted to do something. You know, this is how, you know, anytime you read in the scriptures that God does these strange things, there's something that God is cooking. So this is how God was fixing this thing to happen. So this man said, "I can't sleep." He called the chamberlain and said, "Look, you know, give me something to read." You know, so they bring him all the, you know, journals and the chronicles and all the, you know, things that, you know, and, you know, he began to read. And then as he was reading, the Lord again directed him to the place. He could have read anything. There's all kinds of things written there. But he found a place where it was written that Mordecai had done this service to the house of the king and had delivered him from insurrection a couple of times. And he said, "What was there anything done for this man?" And he said, "Nothing." He said, "Okay, all right, well, I'm going to do something." So at that very moment, this is a divine appointment. You know, even God will cause your enemies to serve up on your table. That's right. The Bible says that the Lord prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And not only that, your enemies will serve you on that table. So this man that coming in with fury, trying to get permission to hang Mordecai and kill all the Jews, you know, he came in at that very moment when the king was saying, "Who is in the court? I need to send somebody." And they looked and they said, "Oh, Haman is there." And said, "Good, let him come in." You know, so when he comes in, this is a divine appointment. Now, you know, Haman didn't know what God was fixing to do. He came in to do evil and to destroy God's heritage, but God wouldn't let him. You know, so, and the king said, "Look, if I need to promote somebody and bless him and exalt him and so on, what shall I do to him?" And he thinking that who else would the king promote? You know, I mean, I'm getting all these things. I'm getting invitation to dinner from this queen and all these things. Yeah, it's got to be me. Can't be anybody else. So he piles up a bunch of things that the king must do to promote this person because he thinks it's going to be him. Oh, you know, take your robe off of you and put it on him. Take your ring off of him, put it on him. Take your chariot and give it to him. Let them proclaim him throughout the city and let them bow before him. Let them do all these things. So because he thought it was going to be him, glory to God. And the king said, "That's exactly right. As you have spoken in my ear, so you will do. Do not diminish aught of any of the things that you have spoken. Now you go and do this thing that you have said to Mordecai." Ooh, glory to Jesus. I love that story. Your would-be destiny destroyer, God turned them around to be the one that will actually be your destiny promoters. Ooh. Destiny helpers. Oh, and look at how God turned the tables around. But the divine appointment part of this story was that this man came in at the exact hour, the very moment that the king was looking for somebody to send. And he brought somebody who was going to pile up all of the blessings. You know, if Haman had thought it was somebody else, he probably wouldn't have said all the things that the king should do. He probably would say, just give him a day off or something. You know, he'd probably say something simple, you know. But he piled up all the blessings because he didn't know that he was the one that was going to give those blessings to somebody else. He thought it was coming to him. Now, that is how divine appointment works. I could go on and on, but I want to leave it right there. We're going to pray, you know, that God will order your steps today and in the days ahead, you know, to according to divine appointment. That's right. Divine appointment. I mean, I've told enough stories for you now to see that God can orchestrate these things. You know, he can put somebody, he can command somebody to do something for you that they don't even know about. You know, he can command you to go to a place that you don't know what he's going to do. You know, but we got to trust the Lord. So today, you know, I just want to do this prayer this way today. You know, because, you know, when we are seeking the Lord, you know, I've found that, look, you know, sometimes people are really trying to serve the Lord and they're doing their best. And so, but they are hindered by some other things that are happening. They can't get some breakthrough in some areas. And so we're always wondering, you know, why, you know, you take one step forward, a couple steps backwards and all these things, and things are not even moving. And we want you to be moving forward in this dynamic haze of power that God is bringing upon us right now. And there are some elements of distraction. We need to get rid of those distractions. And one way that God will get rid of those distractions for you is divine, is by divine appointments. He will set up things in place, you know, and you will walk in and reap something that you know nothing about, because the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. He put you in the right place at the right time. And I say also, I will be declaring and praying, and we want to pray also this morning, that the Lord will deliver you from being in the wrong place at the wrong time. There's a lot of people that are in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, I mean, Jesus, he told the story in Luke chapter 13. You know, they told him this and that and so forth. You know, and then he said, look, those people upon whom the tower, those 18 people upon whom the tower fell in Siloam, do you think that they were seen as above everybody else? You know, no. Jesus said, well, except you repent, you also will perish. You can read that in the first few verses of Luke chapter 13. But those people were in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know. Now, so God must also deliver us from that. Now, that tower was going to fall. You know, but why did they have to be in there for the tower to fall upon them? You know, so when evil is determined and must happen, you know, also by divine appointment, God will keep you away from there. You know, we have stories even in contemporary times, in real time stories of how God has kept people away from evil. You know, by the angel of the Lord delaying something and causing them to not be in that place where evil would happen. You know, and sometimes it might be something as simple as, you know, the angel of the Lord will blind your eyes so you can't find your keys. It might be that simple. God has shown me these things. Be that simple. You can't find your keys. You look everywhere. You can't find those keys, you know, and then you freak out because you are late for something or whatever. But God is protecting you from something else. And, you know, after that evil is overpassed, then all of a sudden, those keys appear in plain view. Anybody ever experienced that? Yeah, absolutely. Because the angel of the Lord was trying to keep you from some evil. And then you won't find anything, you know, and you search everywhere. And you've looked in the same place several times. And then a day or so later, you just find the keys right there. Say, what? Right there in plain view. As if, you know, you hadn't looked. And he was there the whole time. But the angel of the Lord, he just covered your eyes so you wouldn't see it to prevent you from some evil. And you never know. I mean, this is how great our God is. You never know what, you know, what evil that God is protecting us from. You know, sometimes, you know, when you're late for an appointment and you're freaking out, don't worry about it, you know, because you don't know what God is doing. I have a friend who, you know, was supposed to catch a flight, and they were waiting in the house, and somebody was going to come to take over. You know, there were some young children and they had to go, you know, to the airport and so on, you know, and the person that was supposed to come so that he could go, they didn't arrive on time, you know, and he couldn't leave because he couldn't just leave the young children in the house. This happened back in Nigeria a few years ago, you know, and he freaked out, you know, angry and all kinds of things and so forth, you know. But, you know, eventually, anyway, he missed that flight. Well, this is a true story. This is not a fiction. It actually happens that flight crashed. And most everybody that was in that flight died just years ago, a few years ago. You know, this was the time, and some of you who know some of those stories in Nigeria, you know, where they used to have those domestic flights crashing and all those times, there was such a story like that. Now, you know, divine appointment. In this case, you know, God preventing him from evil, but he not knowing it. You know, all walked up and everything because the person told you that will come to watch the kids so he could go, didn't come on time. But, you know, lo and behold, the Lord knows what he's doing. You know, we have another, you know, I have another friend who, you know, who's a pilot, you know, and, you know, one day, you know, he traded duties with somebody. And the flight that he was going to have been on crashed. And he was saved. Now, we don't wish evil on anybody else, but you can see how God can save you from evil. Did not Jesus teach the disciples to pray that very prayer? Deliver us from evil. That's a good prayer. Deliver us from evil. You know, the evil is going to happen, but God should deliver me from it. Deliver your loved ones, deliver your children, deliver your family, deliver the brethren that love the Lord from this evil. The evil will happen. Evil is determined in some cases. They will happen, you know, but the Lord should deliver. Jesus, when he was praying in John chapter 17 for his disciples, he said, look, Father, I pray not that you should take them from the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. You know, so, you know, that's what God wants to do. And he has many ways of doing it. One of the ways is what we are talking about today. Hallelujah. You know, he's talking about how to keep. I mean, we're talking about how God can use divine appointments both to bless you and also to protect you. And you never know, you know, how God is doing, but you must trust in the Lord. We have to trust in the Lord every time that the Lord would, he knows what he's doing. And when things, you know, when we are, you know, the Bible says, look, you know, you can plan, a man devises his ways, but the Lord directs his paths. You know, and people plan things, but God, you know, God will direct it. So the outcome will be to your favor. That's right. You know, so, but you must trust the Lord for that. You must absolutely trust the Lord with that. You know, no matter what's going on, absolutely trust him. You know, let him have control. Let him be in charge. And he can put things in place for you. So that's our prayer today. That's our prayer today. Divine appointments in my life. I'm going to say, oh Lord, set up those divine appointments in my life. You know, that your will for me will be accomplished. That's right. That's going to be our prayer today. I want you to come to the stage and come and pray. And let's pray together today that the Lord will deliver me from evil. Pray for your household. Pray for your children. You know, and he knows how to do it. You know, and there are some things also that you are wanting God to do for you, which, you know, only by divine appointment God will orchestrate it to come to pass. You know, but you must be, when God wants to bless us, we must be in the right place at the right time to receive that blessing. You know, but if we trust him completely with our lives, if you allow him to interrupt your programs, interrupt your day, interrupt your plans, you know, and all of that, and just trust him, he has a way that he will bring things. He will command things into play that we don't even know anything about. It's called divine appointments. Glory to God. So now I am going to pray and declare some things over those of you who are in the room. You know, divine appointments. These are so critical in our lives. You know, where will you be at the time that God wants a blessing to be in your life? Will you be in the right place or will you be in the wrong place? You know, the people that God are positioning in place, whether they are for you or against you, doesn't really matter. I'm showing you stories here today, whether they are for you or against you. It doesn't really matter. You know, when the brothers of Joseph plotted to kill him, you know, and, you know, they, you know, say, well, let's kill him. One of his brothers said, no, you know, let's throw him over here. Because he was thinking, you know, even among the destiny would-be destiny destroyers, God was still having some destiny helpers, you know, both Judah and Reuben. They were trying to help the man, you know, and they were saying, look, you know, but at the very right time, at the appointed time, when they were thinking, let's kill him, draw him out and kill him, they saw a carriage coming of some Ishmaelites that were going somewhere. I said, well, why should we kill him? Let's just sell him to these people and let's be done with it. Just get rid of him anyway. You know, so at the very right time, this group of travelers, this carriage that were carrying slaves that came at the very right time. And so God used that to save the life of the young man and sent him away so that they wouldn't kill him. It was a divine appointment that brought those people at the right time. And you know the rest of the story. Everything, one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing led to another. A lot of divine appointments in his life. You know, and even when he went to prison for a crime he did not commit, you know, God positioned the baker and the butler there, and eventually, one of them, you know, even though it took him 2 years to remember the good that Joseph did for him, eventually he would remember. And it was by divine appointment that Joseph was in the prison with the baker and the butler. You know, and if he hadn't been there, he would never have had a chance to stand before Pharaoh. And finally, when he stood before Pharaoh, on the recommendation of the man that he had, his dream had helped and everything, you know, I mean, the reinterpretation of the dream had helped, you know, in one day, he was promoted from prison to ruler over the land. Divine appointments. God knows how to work these things for our benefit. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those who are in the room right now. I pray for those who have listened. I pray for those who will be listening later on. You know, there is something, Lord, as something that you're doing in our lives, you know, many times that we don't understand. And I pray, Lord, that rather than grumbling, rather than freaking out, rather than being frustrated, I begin to understand the power of divine appointments in our lives. The power of how you can set things up for our benefit. Even as the scripture has said that you are able to make all things work together for our good. I begin to pray this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Even appointments, you know, from you, Lord, to put us in the right place to make an encounter with something that's going to set up some greatness in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, you shall go out with joy, you be led forth with peace. The mountain and the hills will break forth before us into singing. All the trees, you will line up those trees by divine appointment to be positioned at different places to help celebrate the success of your people. They will be there in the name of the Lord Jesus. The trees will line up, be lined up by God to clap their hands for you. In the name of Jesus Christ and for your children in Jesus' name. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord God Almighty, you know, that when you speak, help our ears to be open and to be obedient. You know, sometimes you may tell us to do weird things that, you know, don't make sense at the moment. You know, leave the brook, go someplace else, leave the revival, go into the desert, do this and this and that. You know, but you have something that you are doing and something that you don't owe us any explanation to explain your ways. For my ways, say the Lord, are higher than yours. And my thoughts are higher than yours. As the heavens are high above the earth, so far are the Lord's thoughts and his ways above ours. And Father, may we surrender our thoughts to yours. May we surrender our ways to yours. That the things that you are planning and the things that you have put in place unknown to us, but for our benefit, that we may come into those appointments, that we may come into those encounters. And I declare today, yes, that you will have some divine appointments. That's exactly right. Divine appointments.
Amen.
In your life that will bring you into the desired heaven. The Lord will bring you into the place, but he has a way that he's going to do it. The Lord will command people to serve you, even when they don't know that they're going to do it. I have commanded the widow woman there to sustain you. The widow woman had no clue that she was going to do that. Lord, I pray this prayer over the lives of your people. You know, that God will begin to teach us and we will make our hearts teachable to receive instruction from you. Oh, yes. Inspiration of the Almighty to be in the right place at the right time. The inspiration of the Almighty to bring forth the goodness of God that God has ordained in our lives, even whether we are aware of it or the other parties that God is using will be aware of it or not. But God is able to do it. I pray, Lord, that you will help our spiritual ears to be open to the instructions of the Spirit. And I pray that our eyes will be open, Lord, as you begin to lead us, that also our minds will be open. I declare that our hearts are open this morning. Our minds are open. Our ears are clear. Our eyes are clear. We can receive instruction, clarity from the Lord. I declare that our minds are clear this morning. We are not clogged up. Jesus said, he that walks after me shall follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I declare that we are not confused. We are not confused this morning. We are not in darkness. There's no stumbling around. But we have the light of life. The light of life drops into our hearts. I declare that even while we are sleeping, the Bible says, even while you sleep, God will seal the instruction in your heart. I declare that God begins to seal instruction in our heart that when we wake up in the morning, you know, we are on our path to a divine appointment, whether we know it or not, that God's divine appointments in our lives will begin to work for our good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.